Welcome to A Day of Prayer. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me.
Together, let's engage in relationship with Christ through prayer, faith, and His Word.
Good morning and welcome. You're listening to A Day of Prayer's Morning Bible Study. My name is Layla and we're so happy to have you here with us. But before we get into the Word, let's take a moment and pray. Lord, we thank you for today and we thank you for another wonderful opportunity to wake up with smiles on our faces, Lord, and joy in our hearts, Lord, and song on our lips. We thank you for the ability that you've given each and every one of us to do the tasks that you've asked us to do, Lord, and the strength and the courage and the grace to do so in excellence, Lord. And we ask that you will minister in and through us this morning, Lord, that we are speaking what you want us to say. We're doing what you want us to do, Lord, as we go to school and as we go to work. And we thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' almighty name, amen.
And amen. Well, good morning and welcome, everyone. Glad to have you with us this morning as we continue our study in the book of James. We are in chapter 4. And we are moving forward to cover verses 7 through 10. So can I get a volunteer to read that section of scripture, please?
I will.
All right, promise?
Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament, mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up.
Amen. Mm-hmm. All right. So now, as is our custom here, the floor is open to give each of you the opportunity to share what Holy Spirit is speaking and ministering to you and ask any questions that you have. So who'd like to begin?
I will.
All right, promise?
Okay. I would like to view this section of scripture in the light of part of the scripture we've already covered inside of James 4. Verse 2. You fight and do not... Wait, yes, no. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. Sorry, I was reading the wrong part.
Okay, no problem.
Okay, then bring that back to this section. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. In the previous episodes, we were recently talking about whether or not we're willing to come right out and ask God what we want, and whether or not we're willing to submit ourselves to God in order for him to cleanse us and mold us. And the Lord was, one of the questions the Lord reminded me of was, are we going to go his way, or are we going to go his way to get what we want, as in, are we willing to submit to God in order for him to bless us, or are we going to try to seize it with our own hands? And the Lord reminded me of a car. For example, someone wants a Mercedes. God can give that Mercedes, but just because they want the Mercedes doesn't mean they should break down the window and drive off with it. They shouldn't steal somebody else's car just because they want a Mercedes. They should go God's way.
Mm-hmm. Well, doesn't that bring us to verse 3? You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. It's okay to desire things. But the Lord, all right, again, this is a part of being open with the Lord, all right? And we're all laid bare before him because he sees and knows the thoughts and intentions of our heart. Why are we asking for the things that we're asking for? Is it out of a selfish ambition, right? Because it's jealousy, someone else has it, because of pride, because we want to be the first and unique and different? Or is it what it should be, right? Which is because that's what honors and glorifies the Lord. That's what he's asked or put on our heart to ask him concerning. Which is it? Right?
Yes.
So please continue.
Mm-hmm. And then growing from that step and allowing God to form and shape our desires so that we're not desiring or lusting after the incorrect thing, which we see inside of verse 7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And what we see here is that James is telling them to continually come closer to God, not become complacent inside of one area. As I believe that you say, complacency kills.
Mm-hmm.
And how if we become too complacent inside of our position with Christ, we're ultimately going to fall away, which is ultimately what we do not want, what we should not want. And going down to verse 8, purify your hearts, you double-minded. Being double-minded is more than just having two faces. It's also, as in, being good, good cop, bad cop, Mutt and Jeff. And how it's also talking about, are we allowing God to have rule inside 100% of our life? Anything that's not submitted to God is automatically of the devil, no matter how noble or chivalrous it may seem. Because we see that throughout the Bible. Saul, he thought it would have been noble to take the sheep and, oxen to sacrifice. However, the Lord's response through Samuel was, he desires obedience rather than sacrifice. Mm-hmm. The same applies here. When we draw near to God, it's us being obedient to his will. And the way we draw near to God is first by recognizing the fact that God has everything we are ever going to want inside his hands. We don't have to try to reach out and snatch it for ourselves. Mm-hmm. Nor do we have to worry that God is going to take something away from us that we need.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Anything else, honey?
No, mommy.
Amen. Amen, amen. I want to read Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14 to go along with what we're talking about. When James is talking about pick, decide who you're going to be. Stop straddling the fence. Stop washing and going back and forth. Decide. If you're on God's side, then be on his side. Look like you're on his side. Act like you're on his side. Live like you're on his side. Live like Jesus died for you. Live like the word of God is truth. Not just put on a facade depending on who you're around, but then when no one's looking, you're back to the worldly ways and you are denying God. He's saying, decide. And I think this is a direct, I think I made this correlation in the last episode when the Lord would call the children of Israel adulterers and adulteresses, and say that they were living in harlotry is because they had abandoned and forsaken the way that he committed to them. And they were trying to do their own thing and call it the same as what God said. And it's not. It's absolutely not. And the Lord has entered into covenant with us through the blood of his son, Christ Jesus. And he wants us to be faithful to that. Come all the way in the door. Don't leave a foot out. Don't leave a hand out. Don't leave a plan B or a backup to just in case what God has doesn't work or he doesn't give you what you think you deserve or what you want at the time. And you just want him to be that, play that role and be the genie in the bottle. And that's not who he is. And touching back before I read Isaiah 58, where it says, verse 5, or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, meaning the Lord saying, I'm trying to lead you. I want to lead you. I want to guide you. I want to provide for you because the kingdom has an entire system set up, an entire way of life that is good and it's profitable and it's beneficial and it works. But what doesn't work is when we try to get a little bit from God or we try to get God to operate the world the way the world does. And God's saying, that does not work. There's no duality in him. He's yes and amen, right? And the Messiah, when he was in his earthly ministry, said, let your yes be yes or your no be no. Yes be yes and your no be no. Anything more than that is from the wicked one. So yes and no, hemming and hawing, waving back and forth, where he says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Make one decision, right?
Yes, mommy.
But as long as you have not made a decision, the devil's not going to flee from you. As long as you have not submitted, right? If this, then that. As long as you have not submitted to God and his ways, the devil will not flee from you. And subsequently, you will not go free of that thing, even though Christ paid, he died and paid for you to be free. So Isaiah 58, 13 and 14, it says, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. The mouth of the Lord is spoken. So this is the same concept of what he's saying. Stop trying to go your own way. Stop making up what you think is right and just do what I said is right, the Lord. And see things the way that he sees it. If you look back at the beginning of 13, where it says, and call the Sabbath a delight. The fact that he's saying this here means that they were not calling it a delight. Mm-hmm. They were abhorring it. They called it a burden.
I was going to say, or viewing it and calling it a burden.
Mm-hmm. They were calling it problematic, troublesome, too heavy, an inconvenience. They were speaking ill of what the Lord said was good.
But then wanted his best.
Mm-hmm. And call the day, the holy day of the Lord, honorable. Call is implied because we were still in the same sentence. Call it an honorable occasion, not something to be slandered or squandered or thought little of. And he said in two different instances, stop doing your own pleasure, but instead take pleasure in what he takes pleasure in, delight in what he delights in, right? That's what David said, right? Don't speak your own words. Don't try to fill in the gap. The difference between a believer and a non-believer and the angels that are in heaven and the devil is that we obey the Lord. We remain in our heavenly abode and we do the will of our Father in heaven. That's the clear, defined difference.
Yes, Mommy?
So if I say that I belong to him, yet I do none of what he wants, or I only do a scant amount of it, or I'm not fulfilling it wholly, entirely, then am I his? Or am I lying? Now, the Lord has called us, and as you can see from the context of what James is saying, God understands that there is a need to retrain the human soul and to develop in the things of God. So it is possible for us to get saved and not fully know everything that's a part of the walk in Christ or becoming a mature believer. And God is gracious towards us. He's not finding fault with that. He knows that's the way. Actually, he made the process, right? Our spirit becomes a new creation, but our soul has to be renewed and retrained to live like God. But he does expect that we move down the line. We, you know, like if you're watching a football game and they never got off, you know, the scrimmage line and they never progressed to actually score, it wouldn't be long before you turned that game off, right?
Yes,
it wouldn't be long before you lost interest. And God is gracious and he's patient with us and he's long-suffering and kind. And he still expects that we move the ball down the field. We move ourselves from faith to faith. And glory to glory. We move from where we are right now, where we were when we first got saved, and we keep going until he says, I'm satisfied. And then I'd venture to say, like Enoch, we'd find ourselves in glory when we please the Lord and we got down that line to the point that we're finished. Right?
Yes, Mommy.
So submit to God's ways. Change your heart and your attitude to be all in for Jesus Christ and all in. If he says this is the way, then he's right. And I'm not going back to look at the world's ways or try to straddle the fence or try to get God to commit to what I want him to do, but I am submitting, I'm bowing down, I'm humbling myself to him. And so then I receive the deliverance from the adversary. And cleansing your hands. I love that perspective, because it's saying don't walk around with dirty hands before God. You know you're doing wrong. You know you're not walking with him the way you should. Fix it. Don't keep saying, oh, you can't see my hands. I put them behind my back. It's in my pocket. Don't look at me. Don't you say nothing about that. Just do what I want. God, no. He's saying you cleanse your hands. You decide and you purify your heart and mourn before the Lord. Cry out in the sense of accept and recognize that what you're doing isn't right towards him. Repent, turn away from that, and then proceed to move forward into the things of God. Because if you do, when you do, as you do, the Lord will exalt you. And again, back to what the Messiah said in the Gospels, if you seek to save your own life, you're going to lose it. If you think you're protecting your life from God because he's not gonna give you what you want, he's not gonna indulge your pleasures and your lust, so you've got to protect yourself because you don't know what God's gonna do, you're gonna miss the whole thing. And I'll have to say, for me personally, thank God, God didn't give me some of the dumb things that I asked him for. And at the moment, I was fully convinced this is a great idea, Jesus. You should totally buy into this. We need to move on this now. If you love me, you'll do it. Right? I was trying to say to him, if you love me, Jesus, you'll keep my commandments, which is absolutely an abomination. Uh-huh. Right? But it was, hey, and whether I literally put those words together or not, it was my actions. If you love me, God, you'll do what I said. You'll do what I want. That's the same thing. Whether I painted and put some lipstick on that pig or not, it was the same heart motivation. And God was not having any of it. And today, when I look back, I'm like, oh, thank you, Jesus, that you don't listen to my dumb ideas. Glory to God. Thank you for being King Jesus. And if I love you, I will keep your commandments. There's a reason that he's in charge. There's a reason that he's Lord and Savior, because, oh, Amen. He's the only one who lives sinless. Amen. Oh, he's the only one in here who's God. Oh, he's the only one that has pure blood that can pay the cost and the penalty of sin. Oh, that's the reason. There's only one of us who's a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Oh, I guess I should respect that. Uh-huh. Well, amen. I have to learn. But thank the Lord I did, and thank the Lord that he did not indulge the carnal and fleshly things that I was asking for out of ignorance, because I couldn't see down the line what it was going to mean if he had indulged that ungodliness. And he taught me a better way. He didn't cast me out. He didn't reject me. He just said, we're not doing that. I'll teach you a better way, which I honor the Lord.
Just very quickly, one thing I wanted to comment on and look at here, while it does say, let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom, that's not the Lord snatching anything from you. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that you'll never laugh again in your life, that you won't enjoy your life, that you won't find pleasure in doing his will. But as you said, Mommy, it means look at the truth. Be real with yourself. If you keep lying, you're going to continue living a lie. There's something that the Lord spoke to me about when I came home the other day from school, and it's not anybody deceiving you. You deceive yourself. Nobody can deceive you unless you give them permission to.
That's right.
Just like you can't convince me that 2 + 2 = 7 unless I agree to let you tell me that 2 + 2 = 7. Mm-hmm. But I still know the answer is 4. Mm-hmm. It's always been 4, and it always will be 4. Mm-hmm. So for us, no, the adversary is going to try to deceive you and go, oh, the Lord's bad, but he isn't. The only time you're deceived is when you agree to it and you allow mm-hmm. yourself to be. So that's also mm-hmm. what James is getting at here. Be humble yourself. Don't deceive yourself in thinking, I don't need Jesus. I don't need his blood. I don't need his help, because I'm a decent person, right? Mm-hmm. I'm good enough on my own. Sorry to burst your bubble, but no, there's none good. No, not one.
Amen.
Except for the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, but the three are one. So is mm-hmm. still the one. But back to verse 9, he's not stealing anything from you, and he's not mm-hmm. trying to rob you of anything and make you feel like you have to live in misery. You have to be a worm in the dirt for Jesus for you to be accepted. Mm-hmm. And he, as you said, Mommy, in the previous episodes, he wants to lavishly bless you, but you can't hold the bags of gold if you have bags of coal. You got to get rid of mm-hmm. the coal to get the gold.
Mm-hmm. And even in the scripture, it's also hinting at, which we talked about in Isaiah 58, what I thought was funny, my sense of humor completely changed uh-huh. in Christ. So my idea of pleasure led to a corrupted sense of humor, a corrupted sense of what joy and pleasure was. I found pleasure in doing evil and doing wrong before I came to Christ. I found crass things humorous, right? And I had no sense about what the Lord was saying. But so here he's saying, let your laughter, what you think is funny, lay that down before the Lord and cast that out, because you're corrupt and twisted in your mind, and humble yourself before God, right? So yes, even letting go of that perspective of things.
Well, let's look at it this way, right? Because as you were saying, what's he addressing? It's back to verses, well, I'll say really 1 through 6 of this chapter, right? James mm-hmm. chapter 4. All the things that we desire that are of the world, that are outside of Christ. Mm-hmm. When we, in this, he is addressing their repentance, right? And exhorting them to repent, to come to an understanding and realization of what we just did or what we have been doing against the Lord. And you see this even throughout the Old Testament, right? Whether it's Ezekiel or any of the other prophets, right? Mm-hmm. He's saying, make them understand what they did. Oh, if you're going to judge a city, well, how are you to judge them, right? Make them understand the things they did and how they go against the Lord. So in this, it's us coming to an understanding, a knowledge and understanding of how in opposition to the Lord we were acting by the things that we desired. And then, well, if we're truly repentant, if you will, if we truly come to that knowledge and understanding, then the only thing left for us to do is, I wouldn't say sorrow over it, but to lament and mourn and weep, because we've now realized how much we have grieved the one that we love, that being the Lord, right? Who first loved us, even when we were in opposition to it. It only further proves and demonstrates his love towards us, and that he didn't cast us away or aside, but he purposed for us to know and understand, and he was gracious and merciful and patient, so that we could come to that place, ultimately to change. So I know there's a lot in there. So with that, we're going to pause there for today. With that, can I get a volunteer to close us out in prayer, please?
I will.
All right, Layla.
Lord, we thank you for today, and we thank you for showing us those areas that don't reflect you, Lord, and taking the time to explain to us what it is that you want from us, Lord, and that you are willing to help us uproot those things and replace them with your characteristics, with who you want us and have called us to be, Lord. We thank you for our partners and listeners, that you're blessing them, protecting them, and that you are keeping them in their way, Lord, and causing them to understand all things, Lord, as you do. And we ask that you'll continue to guide them as they go to work and they go to school, as they minister your gospel according to the charge that you've given them, Lord, and that they're strengthened spiritually in their mind, Lord, and in their bodies to do the task in excellence. And we thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' almighty name, amen.
And amen. Well, we love you. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
Want to know more about A Day of Prayer?
Sign up for our newsletter, where you'll get the latest updates on the ministry, inspiring messages, and coupon codes for the merch shop.
Visit our website, adayofprayer.org.
Click on Connect in the menu bar and complete the form.
Be sure to check the box that says Subscribe.
Thank you for listening to A Day of Prayer. We trust the Lord that you are strengthened and encouraged in your relationship with Christ. Visit us on our website, adayofprayer.org, where you can check out our blog, find additional study resources, or shop the official A Day of Prayer store.
Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." So until next time, take care, and God bless you.